Worcester Culture Watch, a podcast connecting you with the local culture scene in Worcester. Arts, entertainment, music, and more.
Worcester Culture Watch from the Worcester Telegram and Gazette.
Hello and welcome to Worcester Culture Watch on Telegram.com. I'm Victor Infante, entertainment editor for the Worcester Telegram and Gazette. Later on in the program, I'll be talking to reporter Richard Duckett, but first I'm here with reporter Mark Sullivan. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Victor. How are you?
Good. Now, of course, you're not one of the reporters that's usually at us. You're on the news side over there doing the hard stuff.
I'm one of the unusual reporters.
One of the unusual reporters. I work with Craig Seaman. You're not one of the unusual.
Fair enough.
No. Sorry, Craig. Mark's written a pair of stories about the controversy surrounding Grammy-nominated Worcester rapper Joyner Lucas's new music video, Devil's Work. Now, just really quick, catch us up to speed with the basics of what happened.
Sure. Worcester rapper Joyner Lucas came out with a new video last week that's had about 6.5 million hits on YouTube, I think, as of yesterday, in which he basically engages in a dialogue with God and asks why certain rappers and other African-American icons have been taken while other people are still here. And so it's kind of a cri de coeur or whatever, why some are people are taken, why other folks are not. He's having a dialogue. Now, the dialogue he's having with God, perhaps, I guess, unsurprisingly for those of you rap music videos, is rather profane, and is drinking from a bottle of liquor, and he's holding a Bible, and he's crying out to God, and he's doing it in a four-letter way. As far as
in the convention of that genre, that's not unusual.
It's not
unusual. And I actually found it very powerful, personally.
And so what's unusual is that it was filmed or shot in St. Peter's Church on Main South, which was interesting to note. The video sort of took on a side life of its own because in the video he's asking God why certain other people haven't been taken, such as the bleeping president and such as the right wing commentators such as Laura Ingraham and Tommy Lahren, who is a Fox News reporter and who he calls hoes or whores. So Tommy Lahren jumped in on Twitter last week and said, "Oh, so you're saying that I deserve to die? This is disgusting." And so it takes off from there in the social media context. So that's the story had a life, and then we decided to look at, hey, how did this happen to get shot in St. Peter's Church in the first place?
Exactly, and that's a fair question. Now, Joyner lives in Worcester. He's been on the road a lot for the past few years with his success, but he does live here. He shoots all of his videos here, or at least most of his videos here that I can recall, including one or two at South High.
Yeah. Yeah,
He is, of course, for those who are unfamiliar with the work of Joyner Lucas, he came to attention pretty early in his career, but with a mixtape from Atlantic Records called 508, which got a lot of buzz and fan support, and of course, which I reviewed very favorably, personally. He then exploded with a video for a song called I'm Not Racist, which was... was everywhere. The man has a knack for... Mm-hmm. It's funnily enough, in most of his videos, both that I'm Not Racist and the one he shot with at South High with Chris Brown, he himself does not actually appear in most of his videos. That's actually a very much a rarity. In fact, all these people who saw I'm Not Racist, most of them thought Worcester rapper Ralph Way, who appears in the video, was him. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure Ralph gets stuck on stuck on the street or whatever.
Yeah.
Ralph, of course, is a fantastic rapper. So there's a lot of things here artistically, which I find interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I find, as a critic, I found the idea that he, for once, was himself in his video, mm-hmm. that he did not have somebody else stand in for him.
Mm.
And that he was in a church that's in his neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, that's personal. He's had some involvement. He has appeared in their church newsletter.
Here this sort of speaks to the heart of the some of the observations locally is that he is not a parishioner of St. Peter's.
No.
And the way it was represented apparently to the pastor, Monsignor Scollin, who apparently was away on vacation and came back in the midst of a kerfuffle. Monsignor Scollin is very widely beloved in the Maine South neighborhood, and St. Peter's is a very active has a very active immigrant community. It's very largely, you know, the place is packed for the Spanish language masses. It has an African mission ministry that's very active. He does a lot of work in the community. So when he was away, but when the parish was approached by the video shooting
so
team,
there was even a layer of removal that I wasn't aware of.
There was. He was away, and the parish was approached, and it was presented to him, you know, even though he wasn't there and didn't set up the scheduling, is that it was going to be about, well, here's a rapper who shot at Maine South. He's going to be talking about lives lost in Maine South.
And I want to put a pin in that point because I do want to get back to
that's
it.
That's right. This is what Monsignor Scollin has said. It was his understanding was that that it was going to be about Maine South. The rapper was going to be talking with God about why, you know, do you take people away, having a, you know, a dialogue. And so that's what he thought it was. And so he said, okay. And then, but he hadn't seen the video when we talked to him this past Monday. And when he came to realize the actual form that the video took with the language and the swigging of Hennessy's in the pews, but also mainly asking God, why don't you take the president with a picture on his on a funeral beer, and why don't you take these hoes?
Funeral beer, that's what it's called?
I believe
we were trying to find. I was trying to find the word of what that was called when I was writing my review.
I can't see the coffin, but I think that was it was meant to be represented.
I couldn't find out what that word was.
Yes, a funeral beer.
Okay, I have learned something.
The thing is, as we as we know, if you follow Worcester, you know that the care and the care of old and historic Catholic churches has been very much in the news. And for example, Mount Carmel is what happens to the former, the now closed church. Mount Carmel has been at issue, as you know. When it was decided to close Mount Carmel, merge it, and then sell the property, the bishop gave orders for it to be changed from sacred to profane use, which means that it is no longer a holy place. It's been deconsecrated, desacralized. Okay. There are notions of sacred space here that apply, particularly in terms of Catholic churches, but in other spaces, which is why if you go to St. Paul's Cathedral, you see where the dean some years back hung placards in the lobby and advising people on on decorum, what to wear, what not to wear, certain modes of dress that are encouraged or not encouraged. I guess he had said that you're not going to turn anyone away, but there's ways you should behave within the church. And so I went and dug up canon law. And under Catholic Church law, it says, all those responsible are to take care that in churches such cleanliness and beauty are preserved as befit a house of God, and that whatever is inappropriate to the holiness of the place is excluded. There are notions of sacred space that apply.
And I appreciate that, actually. This has actually been educational on that point, because I don't think most people would have known it was that.
Right.
That I think, and I have not had an opportunity to speak with Joyner about any of this, so I don't want to pretend to know his mind. Mm-hmm. But as a critic, I sincerely doubt he knew all that.
Yeah, right.
He does have a penchant for controversy and knows how to kick up attention. In a lot of ways, I actually found this to be his most compelling video.
Mm.
Which is different, and I have to speak as a critic now. We have now dedicated 4 articles in the paper this video, which is more than we did for I'm Not Racist.
Mm-hmm.
We think we did 3 on that or something.
Yeah.
But
what's interesting is that to look. I mean, we talked to some interfaith folks from other denominations who also weighed in, and the ones we talked to last night, which were a Jewish rabbi, a representative of the Islamic Center, and 2 different Orthodox priests, who all were uniform in feeling badly for Monsignor Scollin, because the feeling is that this was misrepresented to him, that the space was used in a way that he wouldn't have allowed, and that it was really represented a trespassing not only on sacred space but on the hospitality.
I kind of feel like that's a bit of an overstatement, but that's just me. But I'm going to get back to that pin.
Yeah.
Because you say that it was supposed to be about Maine South and why God takes some people, not others.
Yeah.
that's exactly what I got out of it. Mm-hmm. That was what I got. That's practically my review, which was written. And I literally wrote my review an hour after it came out. And then it came out. It was printed the following Sunday.
Yeah.
So it was written before all of this. But that being said, I really, and forgive me, I don't know. Have you ever lost somebody to violence suddenly?
No.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. 'Cause there's a very particular feeling that comes with that. I have multiple. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it is this sudden lashing of anger and grief. And there's this tinge, and those get caught pretty well in art usually, but there's this tinge of bargaining that happens with it too. And I've not ever really seen that portrayed in a work of popular art. I've seen it in cinema, but not in music. So as a critic and as somebody who is familiar with that sort of violence, I found that absolutely fascinating. I found that hypnotic.
Yeah.
In a way that I don't always find Joyner. I find Joyner is a brilliant technician. I kind of like the pyromancy of his work. Yeah. But that was, I found, was the most personal. So as a critic, and as somebody who's familiar with Joyner from Maine South, I find I have to shrug a little bit at the, when people say, well, this is how represented. Now, they might not have, they might have had different conceptions of what he was saying when he was saying there, but that's, I hear that, and that's exactly what he got.
Sure.
Especially when the song boils down to that last powerful bit, my, why are my mams gone?
Yeah.
That for me was heartbreaking.
And I think it's a very, you bring up a perspective, and no doubt that is what is he was aiming at. I guess the folks who would criticize the use of venue is that they would say that a Catholic church is not a soundstage, and
that's a fair point.
I guess they would say that if he wanted to portray this this dramatic dialogue into these feelings, that there are many ways that which could be done without necessarily doing it. In other words, a lot of folks who are very upset about what is happening to former church buildings in Worcester and wanting to save them, it would be interesting to hear how they feel about what can be seen as profaning an actual act of church, that is still with us. And folks who looked at what was done here see it as an inappropriate use of the space. So I guess,
and I think that's a fair. I think that's a fair perspective.
Yeah.
Now, whether it was intentional, I don't. Right. I sort of.
We haven't. But the thing is, we haven't heard. Yeah. I haven't. I've reached out, and I have not heard back from his management team. I don't know. Whether or not he feels badly for Monsignor Scollin, who, God love him, has been looking pretty besieged when WHDH and WBZ and all the other stations have shown up to interview him this week, because frankly, he's a very when I saw him and asked him about it on Monday, he had just finished saying 5 o'clock mass in the lower church for a handful of women and was leading them in Marian prayers and, invoking the Blessed Virgin. And he clearly is a very devout.
Of course.
He says, I like folk music. I don't know anything about rap music. He's been a bit besieged. So one wonders if Mr. Lucas, if he had an opportunity to speak to Father Scollin, whether or not they might have an interesting dialogue.
I think that would be an interesting conversation. I think it would be probably a more interesting conversation than the one he'll have with Tommy Lauren.
There you go.
I do want to speak to the last point. I think well, there's actually with those people, a lot of people interpreted that as a literal call for these people to die. And I don't feel that song supports that. I don't think it is literally bargaining. Why do you take this person and not that person?
Right. Yeah.
And it's kind of structured irrationally. Mind you, everybody talks about those three people, the president and Tommy Lauren and Laura Ingraham.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, especially Laura Ingraham, who went off on was ridiculed rapper Nipsey Hussle the day after he died on Fox News for 5 straight minutes.
Yeah.
This is a man who was a great community leader, helped bring businesses to a very poor part of Los Angeles, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, somebody I care very deeply about, actually. But yeah, so whatever their opinion. But it's just funny. Nobody's complaining that he was talking about R. Kelly or Martin Scorsese or Suge Knight.
I don't know. I don't know. I personally was actually
Eric Holder, James Roof.
I don't know. I was curious. Well, I was wondering why he was asking that. Why he actually had Michael Jackson down as one.
That was actually the first controversy before any of this
so
broke
it's
up.
It's subjective, isn't it?
And I think that's the point. I think that has been the point because I don't think it's an accident that on the call out card for the video is the Michael Jackson frame.
Yeah,
he is quoting.
So, which once again, you know what? And that's where I think many, I think theologians and Catholic priests and Monsignor Scholar would probably invite this very type of dialogue and questioning. Why? Because you know, sure, it's very appropriate. It's just perhaps one would say in a different setting. Just as if you go to a funeral mass, they even have rules about which songs you can play at funerals. Now, you know, can you have popular or is it have to be sacred? That's the thing. So it's just that's the question is the setting, I think.
And I think that's a fair question. And yeah. I don't want that to get lost otherwise in that. But anyways, I think is there anything else that we should add to this? I think this has been a great discussion.
I know of it. It's an interesting and fascinating story.
It is. And again, as a music critic, and as somebody who's well versed in both Joyner's work and in hip hop and contemporary hip hop, I got to say, I still think that's a great piece of art, even for all the kerfuffles.
So will we be doing Gregorian chant next week?
I have done Gregorian chants. Actually, I have reviewed a great album. I did a capsule review in another paper back when I was a rock journalist.
There you go.
Excellent. Oh, goodness gracious. Okay, we'll be back in a moment, but right now, this is Catch My Breath by singer-songwriter Chris Crash.
Self-indulgent, if anything at all happened, she was first to know. But this puppy love is a one hell of a drug. It'll get you strung out and it'll leave you stuck. Thinking now it's over, I'll never find a love like this. It was personal. And there's nothing left in my lungs, I'm a wreck. Can't catch my breath, oh no. There's nothing left in my heart but regrets. That's why I step so slow. If I catch my breath, will you hear the sound? I got nothing left. Will you leave me now? Story goes on, a little like a fable. We just get to dreaming and put it on the table. Can I settle down, babe? Well, I don't think I'm able. It was personal. And there's nothing left in my lungs, I'm a wreck. Can't catch my breath, oh no. And there's nothing left in my heart but regret. That's why I step so slow.
And And we're back. You have been listening to Catch My Breath by Chris Kaz. I mispronounced that earlier. I apologize. Keep an eye out for him, both solo and with the band Velcro Soul. Now, I'm here with reporter Richard Duckett. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Victor.
And we're going to change gears a little bit. Richard, tell us what's going on in the theater world.
Well, we've got two new theater companies on the scene, and both their shows are coming right up. First of all, we have Heart Forward, which I guess we should call them a theater performance company.
Okay,
and,
yes.
And they've got a one-woman show called Walking Toward America opening up for their first production. And there are going to be performances May 10th at Notre Dame Academy. And then on May 18th, there'll be two performances at Worcester Academy. And then Studio Theatre of Worcester is another new group that's starting up. And they're going to be doing the comedy The Complete Works of Shakespeare Abridged.
I love that show.
Which is all of Shakespeare's 37 plays in 90 minutes.
Including the sonnets.
Yeah, and the sonnets, yeah. And they're going to be performing at on May 17th, 18th, 23rd, and 24th at Greendale Church in Worcester. So, that's an interesting development. We haven't seen a new theater group here in a while. But over the years, one has seen theater companies spring up, come, and go.
Indeed. And it's a hard thing to sustain, especially when you don't have a permanent residence, which very few theater companies really do these days.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, over the years, I remember there was a group called Long Live Theater. And,
okay.
But they didn't last very long. I mean, they were good, yeah, unfortunately, but they didn't. I mean, it's unfortunate, but that they faded so quickly. So yeah, it is hard. It's hard to get a performance space. Usually, the work falls on one or two people, and it can be very hard to set up everything, put it on, get people in. Sometimes groups that get disheartened if the initial couple of shows that they put on get poor attendance.
Exactly.
On the other hand, there is some good theater already around and well established. You have Pilgrim Soul Productions, which has an interesting new comedy drama opening up, Six Dances in 6 Weeks. That's opening up the weekend we're speaking about, and the following weekend at the White Inn theater in Whitensville, the Sing Performance Center, to give it its proper name. Then, of course, there's Fourth Wall Stage Company, mm-hmm. Which actually merged with American Classic Theater in 2013, and Fourth Wall has been doing lots of interesting productions. Then Worcester County Light Opera Company has been going for well over 60 to 70 years, and I think one of the reasons for their longevity is that they have a home.
They have a space.
They have a house, you know, at 21 Grandview Avenue.
Indeed.
And they can put on their shows there.
And that is a big use. Now, we have talked in the past, many times actually, about how whether Worcester needs a new community theater, sort of in the vein of Foothills, as separate from Worcester County Light Opera Company and the big shows that come to the Hanover, the touring Broadway shows. And, you know, and there's been some hope with the Black Box Theater, and we don't know where that is at the moment.
Well, those are two different things, I think. You see, Worcester Foothills was a professional theater company.
Fair.
You know, it was an equity theater company that produced its own plays and was full-time. You know, it put on 7 shows during a season and also had summer offerings, children's theater. I think with the Black Box space, we're talking about a space that lots of different groups in the community could perhaps utilize. That's one idea. I know that it's in the works. It takes time, however, for these things to come to fruition, to get money. People
ask me why that hasn't happened yet, and I point to the Anthem Bagels on Kelly Square that's been opening for months and months and months, or I think like over a year now. And it's like these things don't happen immediately. They're long processes, usually.
It's easier said than done.
Exactly. You know, so in a city where things are popping up all the time lately, and you know, some things are now starting to go away, I think there's a certain amount of magical thinking that goes into people's expectations about those things.
Yeah,
I know there's been some with that theater, that abandoned theater on what is that, Pleasant Street? I forget what it's called.
Yeah, well, it had different names over the years. I mean, I think it's lost. We better not talk about what it was in its final years. Well, I think it was called the Art Theater. But
yes.
But it was a different art than than some people might.
Art is in the eyes of the beholder.
I mean, I think those, whatever's going to happen to that space, the plans are in its infancy, and so and all sorts of good things could happen there, but I think it's going to take some time.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, on the one hand, the pragmatist in me says, well, that's a lot of work on the reclamation that happened there. I've seen photos of the inside and such, and I've heard from people that have toured it. Then the other side of me says, you know what? Everything starts with a sort of dream of something happening. So, you know, maybe I shouldn't be so cynical.
No, well, you never know. I mean, a few years ago, I remember when people were talking about what would become the Hanover Theater, but that seemed a bit of a pipe dream.
I know there was this big hole in the back, and there's the whole, you know, homeless people were living in there.
Actually,
I remember the same thing about Union Station, tell the truth.
Yeah, so you never know. There are existing spaces, venues I was just talking about for the two new theater companies. There are spaces that are quite accommodating to people. They're willing to have them there, but there's no place like home.
No, and I think there's a noticeable difference when a theater company has a permanent home or semi-permanent home, even if they're sharing it.
Right.
This is where they put on productions. Is there anything else going on?
So those are two new theater companies. There's a new musical opening at the American Repertory Theater in Cambridge, and it's written by, and there are some local connections with this. Daniel and Patrick Lazur grew up in Boylston, and as teenagers, they put on a couple of musicals at Calliope Productions Theatre in Boylston. Oh. And I think I wrote one story about them, 10 years ago, saying, oh, well, maybe Lazur and Lazur will become famous as Rodgers and Hammerstein. Well, that was just a light-hearted comment, but maybe it might be true.
And that is that venue down there in Cambridge is an excellent space.
It's one of the, the ART is one of the 10 most prestigious and top 10 regional theaters in the country, according to many polls. And so opening there is really very impressive. The musical is called We Live in Cairo, and it's set in the Arab Spring of 2011 and follows six students who take to Tahrir Square to demand the overthrow of President Hosni Mubarak, and then follows them as spring turned subsequently to despair, with ultimately the military staging a coup in 2013.
What a fascinating subject for a musical.
Yes, and the brothers have been at work on this for some time now. They got a Dramatist Guild grant, which isn't easy to come by, to work on it in New York City. It's been through numerous revisions. They went to Cairo, actually, to the American University of Cairo, to workshop the musical.
I've been there.
Really?
Yeah, I went to a Model UN conference there.
That's interesting.
Sorry.
Well, I that's interesting. I was surprised that they were able to sort of workshop their musical in Cairo, but I was told that the university is a safe place. Yeah. You wouldn't be able to do that anywhere else in Cairo.
It was fascinating. Just sidebar for a sec, because when I was there, it was during Ramadan. So most of the city was shut down during the day. Mm-hmm. But since it was an international campus, it was one of the very few places you could actually get something to eat during the day if you weren't Muslim. So that was the only other place in Cairo, at least downtown Cairo, that was open was a KFC off Tahrir Square. Sorry, sidebar.
that's okay. So, yeah, the musical opens for previews on May 18th, on May 14th, I should say, and it has a pretty long run through to June 23rd.
That's a good run.
The run has already been extended to June 23rd.
So there is buzz about this show.
Yeah, there's anticipation. There's going to be, after following some performances, there'll be talkbacks with various Middle Eastern experts.
Oh.
And should note that shows that appear at ART have been known to go on to Broadway. In fact, a couple have recently. And Jagged Little Pill, which was at ART earlier this season, is heading to Broadway next season. So lots of things in the works for the Lazur brothers, and they're already working on their next musical, which is about chemotherapy treatments in the 1950s and 60s.
They choose those upbeat, lighthearted subjects.
They have very creative minds.
They really do. These are
those first shows at Calliope. The first one touched on the Depression, so they're very socially engaged writers and composers.
And I think, and this might be the theme of our entire podcast, starting with Joyner Lucas and hip hop at the beginning. I think there is something for an artist to be above normal, to do better, they do have to reach for very hard subjects sometimes.
Yeah, I think so.
To push boundaries. That's the light, looking on.
yeah. And all three that we've been talking about do in some way or another. I know that Heart Forward, to go back to what we started with, they describe themselves as a revolution with every project. You know, they really are looking to perform in unconventional spaces, do unconventional things with future productions, and they're really motivated to be involved with the Worcester community. So it'll be interesting to follow their progress, and certainly Studio Theatre of Worcester also has declared its mission, which is to be actively involved in the Worcester community with new productions, as well as the production that they're starting with, which I think is an audience-friendly way of introducing themselves to people.
It's a fairly exciting time for theater in Worcester, then.
Yes. Well, I mean, there's always been a lot going on here. I mean, there are feasts and famines.
Of course.
But not so long ago, for some people, you had Worcester Foothills Theater going strong. You had Worcester Forum Theater also putting on perhaps smaller shows, but very challenging productions, original works in their space on Chatham Street, and both of those were gone within the course of a couple of years, leaving a void. But others have come and gone to try to pick up the pieces, and now we've got two more trying.
So hopefully we will be seeing much more from them in the future. Is there anything else we should be going over?
I think that's about it for this session.
All right. You have been listening to Worcester Culture Watch. For more, read our arts and entertainment coverage in the Worcester Telegram and Gazette and online at telegram.com. As always, our music was composed by DJ Manipulator. Thanks, and we'll be back next week.